Well, again, good morning. Good to be here. Good to see all of you. Certainly wonderful to be here this morning. Thank you, Carly, for the decision that you've put Christ on in baptism. We're excited about that and looking forward to getting to know you more and growing with you. As you know, November is our mission emphasis month, and we've been talking, we've had our friends and family day a way to reach out to those that we love dearly, to invite them in and to really experience and see what we do and how we worship God and the awesomeness that takes place there. And last week we talked about our foreign missions, and Randy got up and did a presentation about the missions that we're going to be supporting in 2017, some changes going on there. And so we're excited about that. And this week we want to focus more in on us, on what we do here locally. There's a six-year-old boy who every Sunday, as I think many of you do, restlessly struggle to listen to a rather lengthy sermon sometimes. And after the service, the little boy asks a question that I think sooner or later most kids ask. Daddy, what's the preacher do the rest of the week? Actually, I get asked that almost every week, Brian. The dad replied, well, son, the preacher's a very busy man. He studies. He reads God. He reads God's word. He prepares for lessons. He prepares for Bible classes. He takes care of all of the church business. He visits the sick. He visits the needy. He helps people. He studies the Bible with people. And he takes time to rest. You see, son, preaching in public is not an easy job. The little boy thought about it, and he said, well, listening's not so easy either, is it? You know, there's truth in that. There's a lot of truth in that. In fact, I went to a preaching meeting a couple of months ago, and Jerry Barber stood up. And I love listening to Jerry Barber and just the knowledge that he has. And he made a good point that I've never really thought about. He said, preachers are trained to talk. We're trained to speak. We're not trained to listen. And a lot of that goes for all of us. I think a lot of times we're not trained to listen enough. We need to be better listeners. Especially when we read God's word. When we read God's word, we need to open up our ears. We need to shut off our traditional minds. We need to shut off our opinions. And we need to listen to the word of God. Because a lot of times we read these messages in the Bible that are challenging. And maybe we just skim over them. Or maybe we think that when we stand before God on the day of judgment, maybe God isn't going to bring that one out. And I think one of those that we struggle with, 2 Corinthians 13:5 first tells us that we need to examine ourselves. We need to daily look at our lives and see whether or not we are being strong in the faith. And truth be told, if we actually do this, and if we're honest with ourselves, we find a lot of areas, a lot of times that we're inadequate. We find a lot of areas that we fail at, areas that we could do better at. And one of those, I think, is evangelism. You know, it doesn't take long after reading the Bible or listening to a sermon or a Bible class teaching to realize that one of the responsibilities that I have as a disciple of Christ, as a Christian, as one that bears the name Christian, is to share Jesus. That's one of our main responsibilities, to share Jesus with other people. It was the mission of Jesus to teach others. It was his mission to help people, to serve people, to reach out to people. The mission of Jesus Christ was to transform the lives of other people. And it doesn't take very long after reading, especially the New Testament, you see the life of Jesus, and you see time and time again, what did he have? Compassion. He looked at people that were lost. He looked at people that were hurting physically and spiritually, and he reached out and he helped them in a way that would change their life. We understand the Great Commission. We talked about it last week. We understand what the Great Commission tells us to do, to go into all the world and to teach the good news, to share Jesus with others. And we've talked about before, I don't know, I hope you remember, I think it was last year, we talked about, maybe we mentioned last week, but the original meaning or the original rendering of that is as you go. Jesus says, as you go to work, share Jesus. As you go to the store, where Target, Walmart, wherever it is you go, you share Jesus. As you go on vacation, you share Jesus. As you go throughout your everyday life, whatever that you do, in all that you do, you share the message of Jesus Christ. Why? So other people can go to heaven. So other people can have the knowledge that of God's word that you have. I mean, isn't that the reason why we're here this morning? Isn't that the reason why Randy stood before us last Sunday and says, listen, these are our financial plans for foreign missions for 2017. Why? Because we want to help people. We want to help save people. We want to be able to plant those seeds. And yes, we can't go physically, but what we'll do is we'll support people that do that. And that's great, and that's wonderful. And I hope that we continue every day to pray for those missionaries. But let me ask you, what if Randy would have got up here last Sunday and says, I've talked to the elders, I've talked to the shepherds here at Central, and what we've decided to do is in 2017, we've decided to cut all foreign mission work. We've decided to cut the budget. And we're not going to support any missionaries in 2017. How would we react? How would we respond to that? I sure hope that we'd object to it and that we would demand that we support our missionaries across the world. Well, let me ask you this. What if we were a part of a church that made little or no impact on the community around us? How would we respond to that? I pray that we would deem that just as wrong. I certainly think we would. You know, I'm proud to be a part of a church. I'm proud to be a part of Central, where we have shepherds and deacons and teachers and members that truly understand and believe that the Great Commission isn't just for foreign missions. It isn't just for the other countries outside the United States. It isn't just for places outside of Cleveland, Tennessee, but we realize that there is a great need here. I'm thankful for that. I believe it's been a great year here at Central. We've helped hundreds of, I couldn't get an exact number, but I know we've helped hundreds of people through our benevolence program just on Monday morning. We've helped people in all sorts of ways. We do it throughout the week. We've raised money in the community and goods in the community for people down in Louisiana. One thing I praise is our small group program. So many visitors and new people have been, seeds have been planted because of small groups. And I want to encourage you, if you're not in a small group, if you've never tried it, if you don't know what it's about, either talk with Mike or go to one. You can go right outside these doors in this hallway. There's a big bulletin board that's got all the information on it. It's a wonderful way to reach out to people. It's a wonderful way to go closer with one another here. And no doubt every one of you in different ways have shared the love of Jesus. Through the good acts that you do, through the good service things that you do, through your friends and through your family. Why? Again, why do we do those things? Why do we have these programs? Why do we have small groups? Because we need to love people. Because we want people to go to heaven. We want others to know the truth. We want others to know what we know. We want others to have the same passions that we have, don't we? 1 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 4 says us that God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. All men. Even the people that you don't like, God wants them to be saved. 2 Peter 3:9, what Rusty read a minute ago, the Lord is not slow about his promises as some count slowness, but he's patient with us. And aren't we thankful for that? Amen. That God is patient with us. He doesn't want any of us to fall. He doesn't want any of us to fail. He doesn't want any of us to be lost. He wants us to repent and come to the knowledge of truth again. Do we share that same desire? Do we really want people to be saved? I believe we want that. For people to come to truth, for people to come to Jesus, for people to realize that they're lost and realize that the life that they're living isn't the way, the things that they're believing in isn't right, it's not what God teaches. And so maybe you want to talk to your family. maybe you want to talk to that husband or that wife or that son or daughter or that brother or sister or that family member or that friend or that coworker. Maybe you want to talk with them, but you don't know how to do it. You're scared to do it. You're scared because you don't know the way they're going to react. Are they going to shut you off? Are they going to shut down themselves? How are they going to react when I start talking about truth? How's that coworker going to respond when I mention Jesus? And so maybe you want to do that, but you really don't know how. You're kind of, in a sense, scared to do it. Maybe you've been inviting people. Maybe you're scared to invite someone to worship because they might tell you no. Or maybe you have talked to that wife or that husband. Maybe you have talked to that brother or sister or that son or that daughter. Maybe you have talked to that family member. Maybe you have shared with them your desire for them to know truth. Maybe you have talked to that coworker and you've been slowly planting those seeds or that neighbor that you live next to for years. Maybe you have invited them to worship and yet they never show up. I want to share with you a very encouraging story right quick of someone that maybe you haven't heard before in Scripture. Her life is summed up in three short verses. You know, sometimes we read the Bible so quickly, we miss the impact that some people make. And a lot of times the stories that we miss, stories like this, have some of the biggest impacts in Scripture. There was a thief that broke into a home and he was walking across the room. He was startled by a voice that says, "Jesus is watching you." And he couldn't find out who it was. And he was shining his light and finally he shined it on a parrot. And that parrot says, "Jesus is watching you." And the thief asked the parrot, is your name Jesus? Parrot says, "No, my name's Moses." And he's thinking, who names their parrot Moses? Moses? And the parrot says, probably the same person that named that pit bull Jesus. Some events in life have a bigger bite than we originally anticipated. And a lot of times, scriptures that we overlook oftentimes have the biggest impact. Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. We have just three verses that describe a woman and how truly amazing she was. And truly how amazing the things that she has done. Her name is Hannah, or some translations will say Anna. And she was a prophetess. She was very devoted to God in her life. She was devoted to God in her worship and her service to God. Even though she was almost 100 years old, 84 years old, she was fully devoted to God. Puts us younger Christians to shame, let me tell you. Verse 37 says she never left the temple. Not literally never left the temple. You know those people that everywhere you go somewhere, you see them and you say, "Man, do you live here?" That's the mentality there. She's always there. That was her life, serving God and helping others and serving others. That was Anna. She loved the Lord so much that she lived it. She stayed busy for God. And not just in a temple, but it says in verse 38 that when she saw who was in Simeon's arms, talking about baby Jesus, she says, "There's nothing I can do but praise God. All I can do is praise God and thank God for this, and I can't help but speak to everyone who's been looking for this Redeemer." Wow. She couldn't help but tell others about Jesus. Do I wish that we as Christians, every single one of us, had that mentality? That we couldn't help but tell others about Jesus because we know the exciting news. Anna realized, hey, there's an opportunity here, and I need to tell others about Jesus. Sure, I'm sure some people thought she was crazy. Look at this crazy old woman. What is she talking about? She didn't care. She didn't care because she loved Jesus so much. I wish we had that. Not in the sense of doing crazy things, life-threatening things, and making people think that we're crazy. We don't have to do that. Cleveland really isn't that bad, is it? I mean, that's actually from the things I've heard and the things I've seen, Cleveland's actually a pretty religious town, don't you think? I mean, there's churches everywhere. There's religious people everywhere. Let me tell you, 21st century boldness in Cleveland, Tennessee is simply about my comfort zone. That's what it's about. It's about how much am I willing to step out of my comfort zone to tell someone about Jesus. How much or how far am I willing to step out of my comfort zone to truly help someone, to truly serve one to truly serve someone? Is my faith big enough for me to get out of my comfort zone? That's what it's about. Anna's was. Paul's was. King David surely was. Peter struggled a little bit, but his faith grew. So the question that I have is, how big is your faith? How big is your faith? A big faith will allow us to keep sharing even when that family member says, leave me alone. Even when that family member is headed down a road that we know is not good. Even when that neighbor never shows up. Even when that friend constantly says no, we keep trying. Even if they do not even believe in God, we continue to serve, we continue to forgive, we continue to help, we continue to teach. Listen, Jesus Christ come down from heaven into a woman. It was a miraculous birth. People knew about that. Word got around about that. Jesus Christ grew up and was taught by his father. He wasn't like every other kid. He was different. He had a thriving about him to know more about God. He wanted to learn. He wanted to sit underneath the rabbis and to know what they knew. In fact, he wanted to know it so much, he questioned them. And it got to a point in Jesus' life that Jesus grew up and Jesus would go around and Jesus caused people that were dead to rise up and to start talking and walking and to live their life. He caused people that could not see to see, could not walk to walk. And yet the people that watched him do this, they didn't even believe. They didn't even believe. Don't ever stop sharing Jesus. Don't ever stop sharing Jesus. Anna never gave up. 84 years old. She was probably married very, very young, and she was married for only 7 years, and obviously her husband passed away. She was a widow, but she lived the rest of her life in service to God. You talk about perseverance. Widows in the first century, it's not like today. They lived in poverty. They lived in loneliness. They lived in depression. She never gave up. She never lost hope. Those people that you pray about, that son, that daughter, that spouse, that friend, that brother, that sister, those people that you pray about that one day they'll come to the knowledge, one day they'll understand truth, one day that the example that you've been setting will have an impact, that person you've been praying about for years, don't ever stop praying for them. Don't ever give up. God is still working in his providence. Let me remind you of Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, declares the Lord. You see, we are bound by time. Our lives are consumed with keeping up with time, to making sure we've got this done on time and that done on time and we're not late for this or late for that. Our lives are bound by it. God is not. God's time is not our time. Our job as Christians is to patiently wait on God. To patiently wait on God. Repeatedly in the Bible, time and time again, we read scriptures, especially in the book of Psalms, about how God is in control. We need to trust him more. We need to lean upon him more. Too many Christians give up too soon on too many people. We need to be more patient with people. We need to be more patient with God. My prayer for you today is that we're just like Anna. You never stop sharing Jesus. You never let any circumstance, you never let anything get in the way. You never stop being excited about Jesus. You never stop serving in the name of Jesus. Foreign missionaries, when they go into a foreign land, they don't immediately start door knocking. They don't immediately start handing out tracts about the plan of salvation. What do they do? One missionary said this: when we arrive, we must help people with their needs. We must help them, and then we share the gospel with them. Sounds a lot like Jesus, doesn't it? Make friends, build trust, create relationships. I truly believe that we are never more like Jesus when we're serving other people. when we're helping other people. And let me encourage you, don't wait for someone else to serve. Don't wait for someone else to do it. If you see a need, meet the need. I'm going to close with this. Jesus, if you remember, was in the house of Simon, and Mary came and anointed his head with a very expensive perfume. And it's obvious the disciples and those there were kind of aggravated about that, because they're thinking, hey, you know, we could probably sell that and take the money and give it to the poor. And Jesus responds in such a way, in a Jesus way, a way that we would never expect. And he says in Mark chapter 14 in verse 8, he said to Mary of Bethany about her, she has done what she could. Anna did what she could in Luke chapter 2. Here's my question, and it's on, are we doing what we can? You're in Cleveland. Are you doing what you can here in Cleveland? What are you doing with what you have? Friends, we have one of the greatest privileges and responsibilities on earth. And that is taking the love and the knowledge of Jesus Christ to people, to those that are lost. We have the opportunity to go out into a world full of hate, into a world full of racism, prejudice. We have the opportunity to say, listen, it doesn't have to be this way. In fact, if you can stay faithful, there's a better place coming, and it's called heaven. And I pray that every single one of us, when we stand before God on that great day, as we will, every single one of us, that we can stand there assured, with full assurance, that we did what we could, that we gave it our all. Let's stand and sing a song for our encouragement.